Are you ready for part two of complete? Yeah, we can't go home yet. That'd be incomplete. All right. John chapter 20 and verse 22. And as we read this, I'd like you to think back to when God breathed into Adam the breath of life and man became a living soul. He wasn't complete. He hadn't been breathing yet. Breathing is important if you want to live. But John is going to step it up a notch. John chapter 20 and verse 22. So countless hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years had passed since Adam. And we know that Adam lost his birthright, if you will. God had given him dominion and authority over all that he had created, over all that God created. God put him in control over all of it. And we know through Adam's and Eve's, one might call it rebellion, but mostly it was just plain not complying with what God had said, not believing him, and lured by the enemy to say God didn't really mean that you die. And yet he died spiritually, and in so doing, as the first Adam, he lost his birthright and position of having total control over everything that God created. On earth, in the heavenlies, and in the oceans. That's a lot to designate to one person, isn't it? Well, so many years later, Jesus has come. He's called his disciples. He's taught them. He's trained them. They went through a lot together. They witnessed his crucifixion. They witnessed his resurrection. And now it was time. They still lacked something. They weren't complete yet. They weren't born again yet. And if you haven't really seen how there were so many disagreements among them, that was one of the issues. They were still in their flesh. They did a lot of miracles. But do you know? Maybe I should rephrase that. They did a lot of miracles. But there was something that they did have that made the difference. Do you know what it was? It was the power of Jesus' name when they spoke his name. That's what made the difference. There's power in the name of Jesus. And they did many wonderful things. Miracles happened, and it's written in his name because he gave them the authority to use his name. They weren't born again yet because it wasn't time yet for the impartation of the Holy Spirit to come and indwell them. The Spirit was present. It functioned in Jesus, but not in the disciples and not anyone else at that time. So the power was in Jesus' name. That he gave them. He gave them the authority to use his name. That power is still available today for us. But there was something else that needed to happen. And right here in John chapter 20 and verse 23, you see this wonderful, wonderful thing that connects back to Genesis chapter 1 and God breathing the breath of life into Adam. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. That's part of the Great Commission that the church calls the calling to follow in the same footsteps through Jesus' ministry. Peace be unto you. That's a great blessing to have in the time that we live in today, is God's peace being available to us. And actually, you don't have to ask for God's peace anymore. You know why? You already have it. It's on the inside. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. But he also gave them some additional responsibilities. Jesus wasn't going to be around with them much longer, and he was preparing them for his departure. But there was still something else missing. They were not complete yet. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Now think back to Genesis. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Look what Jesus did. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The breath of life. The impartation of the Holy Spirit came upon them and in them, and they became born again at that moment. You don't see that up until that moment. And if you're on a Bible reading quest, then you only have so much time to spend in a chapter. The significance of this. This fulfilled all that they lacked. You can say they did all these wonderful things in Jesus' name, and truly they did. But they weren't born again yet. Imagine that. So in place of that, Jesus told them to use his name. His name was an in-between, if you will, to use in ministry until the Spirit came to indwell them. And that hadn't happened yet. It happened just then with his disciples. This is when they received the Holy Spirit, the empowering and the indwelling of the Spirit. But another event happened after that, and we know it's Pentecost because he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So here you see them receiving the Spirit. But there was another aspect of that, and most Pentecostal churches, pretty much all of them, talk about the secondary experience with the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and all of those other attributes of the Spirit came upon them. But here is when they became born again. And then listen to what he said. Because he imparted something that only God could do. Only God was authorized to do this. And yet through being empowered now by the Holy Spirit, becoming born again, God entrusted them with one of the most precious things in his toolbox in heaven. Whosoever sins you remit, or whosoever sins you forgive, they are remitted, or they are forgiven unto them. You know, God has made a lot of things available to us, everything in his kingdom basically, but oftentimes when we're resistant to forgive somebody, we don't realize that's when we're the most like him. God has a lot of reasons to carry a few grudges, but he doesn't. But I'd really like for the Spirit to deepen this understanding for you in this regard about forgiveness. Nobody could do that. They had no power to do it. But here Jesus said, now that the Spirit is in you, now you go and you forgive others their sins, and God will consider their sins forgiven. That's very powerful. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. In other words, you now have the power to forgive people of their sins or not to forgive them. If you do forgive them, they're loosed. But if you refuse to, they're still bound. Because that was part of the commission. We're to forgive as he forgives. So every time that you refuse or don't want to or say that you can't forgive somebody, it's not saying that it's not right. Sometimes people misunderstand when we forgive that we're saying that whatever they did was okay. It isn't. But this is really an empowering to do something that only God himself did. And that's part of your completeness. You have that capacity now. We have that ability within us now. And that's very powerful. And if you don't forgive someone, they're in a very bad state. And you're basically letting a curse remain on them. But we're not cursed people, we're blessed people. And we're called to break curses. And you can break curses off people's lives by simply forgiving them and letting it go. You're not going to gain an extra day of life holding on to stuff. And I've been to the cemeteries, lots of cemeteries, in my quote-unquote profession. And I've never heard any conversation in the cemetery about forgiveness, about letting things go, about getting even. All that, you don't hear those conversations in the cemetery, not on the other side of the soil. Now, so it profits us, and it empowers us in a way, two ways actually, that man didn't have before, the power to forgive and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the promised Spirit to come. So in my notes, the disciples still had a need as the seed of Adam. Because if you trace mankind back, you go all the way back in the DNA and you come to Adam. When DNA began to be studied and broken down in laboratories and classrooms, people came to realize that we didn't evolve from anything. Each human has been divinely created by the Lord, going back all the way back to Adam and Eve. Colossians 2:10. Now Peter is talking to born again, indwelling Holy Spirit believers. Little short verse, but it packs a lot of punch. It says, and a few of you are partially complete in him, always lacking something. Oh, jeez. Sorry, I brought the wrong Bible. I thought you all were tracking with me here. My funny Bible showed up again. What does that say? Yeah. And you are complete in him. You have every legitimate right to confess that verse of Scripture over yourself. This is written to the church and you. So, in order to make that even more memorable and powerful in your life, say, I am complete in him. And this is no small taters, because he says he's the head of all principalities and powers. And you're complete in him. You sit at the Father's right hand positionally in the spiritual realm. That's our place, at the Father's right hand with Jesus. That made the completion complete. Took a lot of generations to get there. But you see, all of the dominion and authority that Adam had, he lost. He was the first Adam, but the last Adam was Christ. And when Christ defeated Satan and all the powers of darkness, that was when everything was gained back. And now you and I have the privilege of being a part of that. whether we believe it or not, it's still true. You've been filled with the Spirit. You're born again, filled with the Spirit. You have all the attributes, characteristics of our Heavenly Father. We have His DNA in us. And so when you think about the power and the authority that's been made available to us, as He's Lord over all of those things. And in Him, you rule and reign with Him. The Bible talks about ruling and reigning as kings and priests. Do you see yourself as a king? Do you see yourself as a priest? I'm St. Rick from Chester. That's not a boast. Anyone who's born again becomes a saint. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we've in times past spent a lot of time in these verses, so they're just looking at them in a bigger perspective, going back to Adam. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power, according to whose divine power? The Heavenly Father has given us, past tense, meaning something that's already been done, something that's already been provided to make you complete, to make you and I be able to function as God would have us to function in whatever call is on your life, whatever skills or talents or ministries that you have. He says He's given you all things that pertain to life. So a lot of times we ask God for things that we already have because we need to stop and remember what we're asking. Don't ask for what you already have. Thank Him. Make it a prayer of thanksgiving that you already have. And then think about life on three levels. It says you've been given all things that pertain to life. You have your physical life, you have your spiritual life, and you have eternal life. Everything that you'll ever need, all the days and years of your life left, He's given us all things that pertain to those things. Your prayer list ought to be pretty short in a sense of for what you think that maybe you lack. But when you think about all things that pertain to life, He breathed into you the breath of life from Adam's time and man became a living soul. Jesus breathed into His disciples the breath of the Spirit. You have the Spirit of life abiding within you. And that's going to carry you all the days of your life, however long you live. So, I'm going to close with this. Think of some things that are incomplete. I can't tell you all the times, people including Faith and I, had bought birthday presents and Christmas presents for our kids, and they come in a kit and you got to put them together. Either the directions are in Chinese or Japanese or Kung Fu, I don't know, but or there's something missing. I can't tell you how many times I've also built bigger toys for bigger boys and found out all the screws weren't in the package that came with the kit. That's very frustrating because they only fit a certain size, or they're an Allen screw and you got to get an Allen wrench and a hardware store doesn't have one, so there you sit with your pile of toys and you can't put them together. Faith, would you like to contribute how it feels to buy a puzzle in faith? And you never find the piece missing in the border. It's usually right out in the middle of it. Yeah. Isn't it?
No, it's...
Isn't that rather... it irritates, doesn't it? But in Christ, there's nothing missing. It's perfect. It's complete. You have everything. And that's what the whole gist of this is, to build you up in your faith a little more, to cause you to realize just the magnificent, glorious product you are of God's creation. Every one of us. You're perfect in Him. You're complete in Him. There is nothing lacking. God didn't say, Jesus, you didn't give that guy a brain.
Yes, I did. I know I did. I didn't forget that.
Yeah, and have that conversation in heaven again that He's got to add something more. Nope, you got it. So the call to us today is let's remember that and let's walk it out a little more completely, and walk in that victory. And always don't think that you don't got enough to measure up. Well, you better talk to your daddy about that. He says you do. Amen? There. That's the word I wanted you to think about since Wednesday, complete. Does anyone need prayer? I can technically say it's still morning, but we're getting close.